Blog Talk Radio.
Song was from our one and only Roger Chapman. He is the Be There Magazine solo vocalist of the year. He is an awesome vocalist, and he's going to be performing tonight at the Westminster. But also, we want to get basically into what this relationship aspect is all about. And Dr. Diane Curran, introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Yes, good morning, Russell, and thank you so much for inviting me on your show today. Yes, I'm Dr. Diane Curran. I'm a licensed psychologist in Maryland and in D.C. My therapy practice is primarily in D.C. And in addition to that, and what I'm going to focus on today is my wellness practice. In addition to my therapy practice, I have a program that I've created called Happy and Healthy You Mental Wellness Program, which consists of a series of workshops that have to do with taking good care of ourselves, in other words, reducing stress. The other major area is dealing with relationships, doing our best to de-stress in that area and to influence the most positive and healthy relationships. And then the third area is dealing with our career life, basically aiming for success and getting clarity and moving ahead in our career lives and our work lives, and managing the stress in that area as well. So those are the three areas that my Happy and Healthy You program focus on. And so I would like for people to have a sample of that today, and I certainly invite people to call in a moment. So if I will, may I go ahead and present my program today?
Oh, fantastic. We're looking forward to it. That's what we want you to do. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you on our Make-A-Live. And, yeah, give us a little taste of what's going on.
Okay, and that is exactly what I wanted to do, Russell. I do want people to get a taste of how I operate, because my whole emphasis with my Happy and Healthy You program of workshops is to educate, inform, and empower people around their lives. As you probably know, stress is a silent killer. I mean, it impacts so much of how we function and whether or not we're functioning well. So my whole emphasis is on well-being. So today's topic is, and I hear this little title, you remember the Michael Jackson song, the remake of the old song, Who's Loving You? So the question is, who's loving you? And the answer to that is hopefully yourself, because if we're going to be in a position to give healthy love and receive healthy love, it is really based upon our ability to love ourselves in a healthy way. And part of loving ourselves is about taking good care of ourselves. You know, in other words, exercising well-being. And so that's exactly what I want to focus on today. And I'm going to walk people through a little model that I have developed. Russell, when you think about the word spies, you know, S-P-I-E-S, what's the role of a spy? What's the job of a spy?
The role of a spy is to try to get information or to try to get something from you that nobody else knows that they can really spy on and use it to their advantage.
Precisely. So there you go. Thank you for that very astute definition. So my model is about S-P-I-E-S. I like to play around with words and use acronyms. So the word spies, S-P-I-E-S, is an acronym for the five dimensions that I'm going to talk about in terms of our self-care. In other words, ways that we show love and compassion toward ourselves. So the first letter is S, and that has to do with our spirituality. That is very important, Russell. So in other words, our spirituality is about our sense of purpose, our sense of passion, our sense of meaning, how we see ourselves in this life. It guides us in terms of the way we choose to live. So it may entail religious beliefs, but not just your religious beliefs, your life philosophy, your values, your sense of integrity, your standard. So I call it your GPS system. In other words, that's your guiding principle system. You know, so what informs you that you have a place here on this planet? And what gives you a sense that you're on the right track? So that's the first question. So the first question is, are you in touch with that? The second question, and I'm going to be asking these questions along each of those five dimensions. So the second question is, are you taking care of that part of yourself? In other words, how are you nurturing your spirituality on a regular basis? You know, are you doing things like meditating, praying, taking time out to reflect, taking time out just to get quiet and get still? Because that's how we are able to oftentimes receive that sense of self and open ourselves up to what the universe and what God may have for us. So, again, I want people to think about that, because after I walk through the model, I want people to call in and share how they have exercised different ways of nurturing these different parts of themselves. The next letter is P. That's for physical. So within the physical realm, the question is, you know, how are you doing there? You know, do you have any health challenges? Do you have any particular physical strengths or attributes? You know, so that's the first thing, of being able to be in touch with how you're doing there. And then how are you nurturing your physical well-being? Are you regularly getting doctor's care if you have an illness? Are you doing preventive types of things like eating a healthy diet? Are you engaging in enough sufficient rest? Are you doing things like physical exercise that we know definitely helps? It's also your sense of attractiveness physically. What are you doing with regard to that? Are you your best self there? Do you feel good about yourself in that arena? And what are you doing to nurture that? The next letter is I, and that's your intellectual dimension, our mental abilities, our academic abilities, our artistic creativity. You know, how are you doing in that dimension? You know, how do you feel about yourself in that dimension? Or do you see yourself as intelligent? Do you see yourself as particularly creative? Do you see yourself as innovative? You know, are you curious? Do you have intellectual curiosity? So that's, you know, the first question is how you regard your intellectual self. And then what are you doing to nurture and reinforce those strengths or to address any kinds of deficits in that area? So, for instance, are you actively engaging in intellectually stimulating kinds of activities? So for some of us, we may be in school, we may be taking classes, we may be learning new skills, we may be exposing ourselves to opportunities to showcase and express our talent. So again, I want people to stop and think about, you know, how they're nurturing and reinforcing themselves in that arena. The next letter is E, and that's for emotional. So again, how are we doing emotionally? You know, are we generally in a good place? Are we generally happy? How do we generally manage our emotions? Are we pretty good at being able to move from an unhappy place to a place of calm? Are we constantly under a lot of stress, and are we constantly feeling distressed? In other words, how are we regarding our own emotional selves? Are we in touch with our emotions, for that matter? A lot of people won't even allow themselves to feel their feelings. Are you letting your feelings run the show instead of you running the show? Are you managing your feelings effectively so that you are in touch with them and that you're able to feel a lot of positive emotions? And nowadays, Russell, that's a big issue. Positive psychology has become very popular over the past 15, 20 years. So we recognize the role of feeling optimistic, feeling hopeful, having a sense of self-compassion, having a sense of self-esteem. We recognize the importance of all of that. So, again, that first question is, how are you doing with your emotional self? And the second question is, what are you doing to nurture that?
Yes,
you know, so, again, if you're upset about something, if something's bothering you, you know, are you reaching out for appropriate social and emotional support? are you, again, in touch enough where you are doing those things that we know can work? Some people journal, for instance, if they're upset about something. Some people engage in problem solving when they know that there is something that needs to be addressed. Some of us have some very healthy conflict resolution kinds of strategies and skills. So, again, dealing with your emotions very effectively. And last but not least is the last letter, which is S, your social and interpersonal relationships. Again, the question number one is, how are you doing in that area? You know, do you have good, healthy social relationships, starting with people in your family or significant others, if you're married or you have a close romantic relationship with your children, with your friends, with your coworkers? So being able to have a sense of how you're doing and how you're managing those relationships. Are you, how would people assess your social skills? Are you regarded as friendly, easy to get along with, your comfort, your ability to empathize and relate well to others? So being in touch with, again, what the way you operate in that area. And then question number two is, what are you doing to nurture that part of yourself that would translate into self-care? In other words, are you surrounding yourself with positive people? You know, do you reach out for appropriate social support when you are hurting and when you're in need? Are you engaging in reciprocity? In other words, are you able to be there for others just like they're able to be there for you? So all of those, and I know that in the interest of time, I really can't get into the detail that I would normally get into in my workouts, of course, but I want to give people an overview, a way to approach ourselves and to a way to think about ourselves and to set up a model for a way to take good care of ourselves. So I would love at this point, Russell, to open up the show, open up the line, and invite people to call in so that they can share their strategies. Because one of the things that I have learned in my workshops is that I know a little something, thank goodness. You know, I have gone to school. I have worked in this field for quite some time, so I recognize that I bring something to the table. However, I don't know everything, and I like to make my presentations and my workshops relevant. So I want people to share. One of the ways we learn is by learning from each other. So I want to make this real, relevant, and I want to make this something that people can connect to. So hopefully through others calling in, sharing some of their experiences around how they exercise self-compassion, how they exercise self-love, how they care for themselves and reduce their stress and distress, then other people can get some reassurance about maybe the fact that they're on the right track. And then other people may be able to say, you know what, I want to feel better about myself. I want to engage in more self-care because, you know what, if I'm loving myself, then I'm in a place where I can give healthy love to others because I have something to give. And then also I'm in a place where I can receive healthy love because I know what it feels like already. When we know what it feels like already, then we're not going to lower our standards and let somebody mistreat us. That makes sense?
Excellent point. Excellent point. The number here is 516-387-1734. On our newsmaker line, the one and only Dr. Diane Kerr. And you heard the different points that she made. And she started out with the spirituality. I want to talk a little bit about the spirituality, the first one. It's so important to be spiritually connected to some higher being or to be spiritually connected in yourself. How is that first one you talked about so important? Give us a little bit more aspect on that part of the healthy you, spirituality. How important is that to have that in your life?
Well, it's very important because it really begins there. Russell, it really begins with a sense of feeling connected and feeling like you have a place in this world, in this universe. So therefore, it gives you a sense of feeling grounded and centered, first of all, when we are in touch with, even, like you said, a higher being, and then also within ourselves. So therefore, we have a sense of guidance. It kind of gives the foundation for our sense of guidance. It's that place that gives us a sense of direction. That's why I do refer to it as our GPS system. Think about what the GPS programs do. They give us direction, don't they? They kind of help direct us in terms of where to go and how to get there. So when we are nurturing our spirituality and engaging in practices that work along with that, with our spirituality, then we are much more in touch with why we are here, what's the meaning of our life. And that actually sets the stage for everything else, to be quite honest, because everything else pretty much will fall into place. So, for instance, if you know that your purpose in this world is to be a leader, for instance, and to lead others, then you are much more likely, for instance, intellectually, to nurture that part of yourself that says, well, you know what, I really want to be an expert in this area because I want to have something to give to someone. I want to be able to lead somebody in a way that imparts information and wisdom. So that's just an example.
Now, what was the next one? After spirituality, what was the next one?
The last dimension?
No, the next one was the spirituality, and then what was the next letter?
Okay, so again, let me run through the five. Yeah, let me run through the five model again. The first is spirituality. The second is physical. That's the P. The next one is I, intellectual. The fourth one is E, emotional. And the fifth one is social. In other words, our interpersonal relationships. So it's S, P, I, E.
Let's talk about the physical aspect. When it comes to a healthy you and making sure that your life is worthwhile, the part of health plays an extremely important part. If you are sick or you're not taking care of yourself, I'm a veteran. I go to the VA on a constant basis, and I see people at the VA who are truly not that old, you know, 50, 60, 70-year-old people. And they're all walkers and canes, and some of them amputees, you know, from different health issues and stuff. How important is that to maintain a relationship or to get a relationship? Can you get a relationship if your health is not good?
Well, it makes it a lot harder, I'm sure, to at least establish a new relationship. Because, again, if our health is not good, then we're not going to be feeling so good. We're not going to have so much energy to extend in a direction towards somebody else. So the best thing we can do is to do our best, to be our best, and to take good care of ourselves. So that is a big impetus toward taking better care of ourselves, being motivated to taking better care of ourselves so that we can put that in place. You know, in other words, being healthy is one of those foundational kinds of states of being. So that when you feel good, then you can do good. But if you are in chronic pain, for instance, you don't really feel, you know, that great, and therefore you're not going to, your energy and your focus is not going to be so much on trying to connect with somebody else, unless it's connecting with a good physician or a nurse or a nurse's aide to help you. So that is why it's so important for us to be as proactive as we can around our health and to not let our health deteriorate to the point where now most of our energy and our waking hours is spent on, you know, dealing with pain and distress.
Excellent. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want you to expand on the other aspects of the model, but also give information on how to get in touch with you. On our Newsmaker line, the one and only Dr. Diane Kern. This is all about you. We'll be right back.
Okay.
In the background, Roger Chapman, Be There Magazine Solo Artist of the Year 2017. That's his number one hit single, So Close. And it's all about relationships, so close, in love. We're talking about Healthy You with Dr. Diane Kern. First off, Dr. Diane Kern, please tell us how to get in touch with you.
Well, I can be reached through my phone number, which is area code 202-928-1522. That's 928-1522. Or via my email address, which is my title and name, Dr. Dr. Period Diane Kern, and that's spelled D-I-A-N-E-K-E-R-N, at yahoo.com. So that's Dr. Diane Kern at yahoo.com.
And give us the website.
Yes, my website for my Happy and Healthy You program is www.happy and spelled out healthy letter U. .com. That's happy, A-N-D, healthy, letter U, .com. And again, you know, that is my mental wellness program that's designed to bring empowering information as well as strategies toward helping people achieve more better well-being, stress reduction, increased happiness, and increased success. So these workshops can be utilized by any kind of group, such as workplace, in the workplace, at retreat, at family reunions, in sorority and in fraternity conferences. So I encourage people to consider ways that we can bring in this very helpful and useful tool to help people get in touch with how they can more effectively manage and reduce their stress and have a healthier lifestyle and increased well-being. So, Russell, I would like to know from your audience, is there anyone who has had the experience of, for instance, let's just say socially, one of the big things in our interpersonal relationships in terms of self-care is learning how to set boundaries. Some of us, unfortunately, engage in taking care of others at our own expense. In other words, we are sometimes overdo it for other people, and then we don't make room, or we don't send the expectation that we are to be taken care of because we're not there yet. And that's part of this whole issue of self-compassion and self-love. So, again, is there anybody who has been able to overcome that? Or maybe there's somebody who's struggling with that. And I'm inviting your audience to call in because, again, the whole purpose of today's topic was about having good relationships with others based on having a good relationship with yourself.
Excellent. Now, we have people on the line. The line's on lit up. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Diane Kern, I know some people may be not comfortable with talking about it on the air, but you have her number. You can also call her off the air. But this opportunity now where you can talk to her on the air, if you have a question in reference to being healthy.
Absolutely.
And happy, because healthy and happiness is a important aspect of your life, how could you possibly have the audacity, the utmost gall to wake up unhappy? You woke up, you want to make sure that your life is happy and healthy, and you want to have a happy and healthy you. Because if that's the case, then you can be a happy person to bring happiness to others, and you want to bring some kind of joy and happiness to people around you. How important, Dr. Kern, is association? Who you associate with, how important is that?
Oh, my goodness, that's of the utmost importance. I tell a lot of my clients, my therapy clients especially, when they come in and they tell me about how their friendship network, they have a supportive, loving, trustworthy friendship network, and I say, you know what, that's a direct reflection of your healthiness. So some of us, you know, if we don't have a healthy friendship network, then, in other words, if we have people in our lives who really are not in our corner, who are disloyal to us, who basically envy us or maybe do hurtful things and take advantage of us, then we're participating in our own mistreatment. Nobody can mistreat you to the extent that you don't allow it. And so that's one of the things, that's why it is so important to start with loving yourself. Because when we love ourselves, we set a standard right off the bat that says to ourselves, first of all, you know, oh, okay, this is what I'm going to accept, this is what I'm going to allow, this is what I'm not going to allow. And oftentimes, I kind of say this tongue-in-cheek, especially to a lot of my female clients who are interested in improving romantic relationships, I will say, you know, it's kind of like we're wearing a neon sign on our forehead that that basically broadcasts to the rest of the world what we will deal with, what we will allow, what our standard is, what we'll put up with. And sometimes, Russell, people aren't even in touch with what that sign is saying themselves. You know, in other words, they're not in touch with what they are projecting to the world, what other people are picking up on. So it is important that we are very much in touch with the kinds of people we associate with. So if you're associating with somebody who's bringing you down, then guess what? You're not going to feel good about yourself, and therefore you're going to be caught up into something that you, deep down, is going to end up costing you because you're going to be participating in your own mistreatment. So it is about feeling good about yourself, feeling compassionate about yourself, and recognizing that you deserve to be cared about. And that may require us to do a little background work. Maybe we grew up in a situation where we were mistreated or where we were abused, in which case oftentimes we arrive to adulthood not feeling so good about ourselves or not feeling so kind toward ourselves, not giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt, not being fair and generous to ourselves. So that's important because that's your job. Whose job is it to take care of you, Russell?
It's your own personal aspect of who you are to take care of yourself. Nobody's going to
Absolutely.
Love you, care, respect you, or even want to be with you unless you want to be with yourself. You have to look
Hello.
At yourself.
Thank you.
Yourself.
That's right.
If you don't know who you are, how could you have the audacity to think that you want to love someone or have someone love you and you're showing that you don't love yourself? You walk out the house looking like a baboon drinking vinegar, and people look at you like, what the heck is that? Look at the person, and you think that they want to love you. They don't want to love you because they can see you don't love yourself. Give me an example of neon sign on somebody. Give me an example, Dr. Kern, of a neon sign that's blinking on someone, and they don't even know the neon sign is on. Give me an example.
Well, for instance, I have had several female clients tell me about how they are dealing, they've been in a relationship or several relationships. Oftentimes it is a pattern where, the guy is just, for instance, not as into them as they would like them to be. Here they are wanting a committed relationship, but the guy is either cheating on them or not there yet or that type of thing. And then when we explore, really what it is that oftentimes these people, my clients, are not believing that they're deserving of that. In other words, they're not whole, and they have set a standard where they will allow somebody to be less than honest with them or to basically not be there for them in significant ways. So, for instance, and I know, Russell, you and I have done relationship workshops together. So, for instance, if a guy now is not showing up for this person's birthday, and she thinks that they have a significant relationship, but now she doesn't hear from him or he doesn't make time to spend with her. That if she excuses that, in other words, if she doesn't feel worthy and deserving or a priority, then she's very likely to excuse that. And so that's kind of the neon sign that says to the world, oh, what? Guess what? This is what I'll put up with. This is what I'll allow. And unfortunately, some people are not in touch with how that kind of feeling about themselves and what they project translates into them attracting and selecting people who will mistreat them.
Go ahead.
That makes sense? Yeah, yeah.
That makes
sense.
What about being equally yoked? Is that important?
Oh, I do. Oh, absolutely. Equally yoked, and that's a subjective term, but most important, I think just about all relationship experts would agree, the being equally yoked in a way that's important has to do with basically your value system. You know, in other words, getting back to that spirituality again, if you are in one place in terms of your sense of morals and standards and values, but a significant other or somebody you're interested in becoming a significant other is in a very different place, then don't think that there's going to be real compatibility there. In fact, it's going to be an upstream at best, battle. And so it is about being able to accept yourself, love yourself, being honest, open to yourself, who you are, how you operate, and being able to, and from that standpoint, then we can more clearly see where somebody else is.
So equal yoke is important, association is important, values is important, to have a healthy relationship, a healthy you, touch upon the spirit about basic things that you need to know about yourself. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, I want the closing statements, but this has been an honor and a pleasure to have you on our Newsmaker Live. People need to contact you. Because what you're bringing to the table in 2018 is more prevalent than it was in 1960. It's more prevalent today to love oneself, to feel some kind of aspect of knowing who they are. If you want love, you have to be able to receive love and give love. But the most important thing about love is you have to love yourself. I learned that long ago in life, that I don't care what happens to me. I don't care whether you want me or don't want me, or if you like me or you don't. What does I give about? I don't care about that. I care about me to the point that I like me. If I like me and I know that I'm projecting that people can see that, hey, this man loves himself. Somebody.
That's right.
There's always somebody for somebody. But you have to take pride in yourself. But if you running around as a, you know, gloom and doom, I used to be a police officer, and I used to attempt suicide. And you go to the guy's house, and the mother's downstairs saying, my son's upstairs, he's trying to kill himself. For what?
Mm-hmm.
Judy left me. Judy left me, and I don't want to live. And if he thinks that's going to make Judy love him more, he's out of his ever-loving mind, because now she knows that he don't love himself enough to even want to live. You lost.
Right.
That, you, that relationship is dead. We're going to come right back with the closing statements on Newsmaker Live. One and only Dr. Diane Kerman. Right back.
Oh, I because
one and only Roger Chapman, one of our Newsmaker Live, Dr. Diane Kern. Diane, this has been one informative show. We still have some people on the line. If you want to speak up, just have a question for her now. Please speak now or call her off the air. However, give us your closing statements, Diane, because it's, we're going to have you back on again, because you're also going to be on our radio show on Radio 1 coming up in April or last part of May. But we want to make sure that people get this information out. Also, I'm going to invite you to our upcoming event in May. Last part of May, we're going to have the 50 entrepreneurs at dinner. We're going to have 50 entrepreneurs at dinner, and I want you to be one of those entrepreneurs to have dinner with us. People can meet the 50 most acclimated, important businesses in DMV for dinner in May.
Well, in closing, I want to again lift up the importance of treating ourselves well. We're talking about self-compassion and self-care, and taking that responsibility. We are responsible for taking care of ourselves, and we are responsible for our happiness. And the more we nurture our happiness, the more we nurture our self-care, the more self-loving we are treating ourselves. We're enhancing our self-love. And guess what we're reducing? We're reducing stress by doing that. And then we're also providing ourselves with the best resilience, the best fortitude and strength to be able to handle the stress that we may not be able to control. So, and we know that stress is truly the silent killer. So, again, taking good care of yourselves, aiming to be happy, and doing those things within those five areas I mentioned, spiritually, physically, intellectually, emotionally, and socially, to enhance your happiness, that is going to lead to your healthy, well-being.
Excellent. Do you think, in closing also, I want to talk about the social aspect. Do you think it's very important for people to be socially active, or should they be more in their house all the time? How important is it to be socially active if you're trying to be
goodness.
A healthy person?
Well, that's one of the reasons we hear a lot of models about the mind, body, spirit, and, of course, I divide the mind up into the intellectual and the emotional. But a lot of times, even though we know the power of social support and social networks and social interaction, that is huge. I mean, we were not designed as human beings to live in isolated bubbles or to live in isolation from each other. We were designed to be interdependent, not dependent, not the extreme of being independent. And I said extreme of being independent. So there's nothing wrong with being independent, but when we are so independent that we feel like we don't need anyone, we're in trouble. And so basically, the studies show consistently that when people have strong, positive social relationships, people that they can count on, people who they know care about them, people they can trust, people who show up for them and provide adequate support, that then we do better. We're happier. Number one, and keep in mind, when we're happier, we're going to be healthier. So we know, I can't say enough about that. So where it is that we nurture our good friendships by participating, where it is that people are feeling isolated and they begin to reach out to form networks, again, starting with feeling deserving of people treating them well, and also recognizing that we are part. That's part of what self-compassion is about. It's about being kind toward oneself and recognizing that you're part of the human race. And being kind toward yourself doesn't mean that you excuse your faults, but it means you accept yourself even with your faults. And that those things that we can work on, that we do work on. But that you have a general level of unconditional love, and that you accept yourself and you see yourself as deserving of other people treating you well.
So important. This has been so enlightening. The Diane Kern, you are simply the best. You have been helping and literally supporting people for over the years. I just treasure meeting you, and you crossed the path of my life. You have really inspired me and so many others. We have did workshops together. I've seen you at some of your workshops. I've seen you perform your workshops. Everybody that comes in contact with, I'm quite sure you're there's so many people that you have helped over the years and going to help more people in the future. But I want to thank you for doing what you have done. What made you go into this aspect of work? What made you see the vision that this was what God has sent you to do for yourself and your people? What tell me how this happened for you.
I have always wanted to help people, and I have wanted to recognize that by helping people, my best way of helping people is to help people help themselves. So when I studied psychology, part of my motivation for even studying psychology was my curiosity about what makes us tick, so to speak. You know, in other words, what makes us feel the way we do, what makes us take the actions that we do. And so that was the biggest motivation, was that curiosity as well as that desire to be helpful. So that led me into the field of psychology, in particular, the field of psychotherapy. And so this has been an immense source of fulfillment and, satisfaction for me in terms of my career life, is knowing that I'm able to help others. And what I have come to understand and embrace is that helping others is about helping themselves. So one of the things that in my therapy, of course, there are strategies, there are tools that I impart to people in my therapy that are based upon helping people move from, for instance, depression or states of anxiety to being calm and to being happier and to embracing, you know, being able to manage their emotions. And then on the wellness side of it, and that is what I'm really moving more toward, Russell, because I want to empower people in general. I want people to recognize that now there are principles that we are talking about nowadays in psychology that have a lot of research and empirical basis that we know work. There are basic strategies and principles that help strengthen our resilience, for instance. There are strategies and principles that help embrace happiness and success. So, for instance, one of those things has to do with optimism. You know, optimism is about being hopeful, being able to see the positive possibilities. When we tend to only focus on the negative possibilities and we entertain a lot of negative predictions, that's a recipe for anxiety and sometimes and depression as well. So some of us engage, some of us don't recognize how we create our own stress mentally. And so one of the things I'm a big proponent of is helping people understand these connections and to understand these principles and also to understand what works. So in my workshops, I'm a big proponent of coming to the table with that knowledge, and again, not just the knowledge I have, but also tapping into the wisdom, the experiences, and the knowledge of the participants in the group, because everybody brings something to the table. And I'm always impressed with how, I mean, every one of my workshops, I'm always impressed with how there's at least one or two people in those events who have a very soul-stirring story to tell about how they overcame a negative situation in their lives, especially in relationships, how they learned, for instance, to set boundaries with people who were using them, who were abusing them, who were taking advantage of them, and how they came to a whole nother level of loving themselves enough to say, you know what, I deserve better, you know, and I'm not going to continue to allow myself to be treated this way, and I'm not going to subject myself to this kind of mistreatment, and how from a sense of self-love, healthy self-love and balance, because I talk about balance being a measure of healthiness. In other words, I can take good care of others as long as I'm also taking good care of myself. Whenever we're taking care of others at our expense, then it's out of balance, which means it's unhealthy. So that's where people, you know, get in trouble a lot of times. And so and they think that they're being well-intentioned. That's the thing. You know, they think they're being generous. Some of my clients will say, yes, I'm sorry. Were you trying to say something?
I tell you, Don, this has been, we're running out of time right now, but this has been such a pleasure. And we're going to continue this more, but I want people to know, if you need this information, please contact Dr. Diane Kern and look forward to seeing her at our events, but also get in touch with her off the air. This has been the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. It's networking on the radio. Look forward to the big, big dinner with the entrepreneurs in May, 50 entrepreneurs, dinner with 50 entrepreneurs. Just sit down and talk to these entrepreneurs, see them, see what they do, what they're working with, what they want to produce. But I want to have Dr. Diane Kern as a special guest at that dinner, and you'll meet her hands-on in May. This has been the Russell Price Morning Show. We'll see you tomorrow morning. It's all about you. And get the black card. Go to myblackcardnow.com. I'm out. One and only Roger Chapman, Be There Magazine, male single vocalist of the year. We